And I know His word is true. He will see you through. I believe, Jesus. Oh, I believe. Jesus saved. Have trod, that a prayer will touch a heart of God. I believe through time way. I believe Jesus. Just keep playing. Romans 6:23 said, the wages of sin is death. But it didn't stop there. He said, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What a gift. What a gift God's giving us. What a condemnation and what an insult it is to our Creator when we refuse God's Son who was given for our sin. Hebrews said, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Amen. You can't beat the rap. Brother Randy's talking about that man sitting in death row in Alabama prison. 30 days to live. He'd walk those last steps. Death row. You know, tonight, we're all on death row. Some of us just got more time than others. Amen. Thank God we do. Amen. The A.T. Gillette was whole revival for me in Kansas. He'd known in the past due to his attachment to sports and the sports world a lot of people high up in sports. Personal friend of Charles O'Finney, Finley, owner of the Oakland A's, and old Hank over here is coach for the Kansas City Chiefs football team. Amen. And so he decided in his latter days he's going to visit some of his old friends and witness to them about God. I was there when he called Hank on the telephone, and he was in New York. So he called him again, and Hank told him, come on over by all means. I'd love to see you. A.T. Gillette said, I walked into the most plush, lavish office that I've ever seen. He said, I've seen a lot of plush offices and a lot of lavish things, but said, I never saw an office more lavish and more plush than that. And he said, Hank's in conference with the rest of his coaches, but he'll be out a little bit. After a while, they all begin to file out. Brother Gillette, the holiest preacher, was invited in. Amen. Hank told him, he said, I've got 1 hour, Art. I'm so glad to see you. He said, talk to me about anything you'd like to. Brother Gillette took his Bible out and laid it on the desk in that plush office and said, I know the pressure you're under. I've been there. He said, the greatest pressure in the world, you're under it right now. You got to win games. If you don't win, you'll lose your job. And so you're under the gun. Amen. But he said there's more impressed, more important things than the pressure you're under. Said, one of these days you and I have got an appointment to keep, and we'll lay down and close our eyes and not wake up in this world anymore. Amen. Hank said, that's the important one. He witnessed to him, and tears ran down the face of the coach of the Kansas City Chiefs. He said, I know you're telling me the truth, Art. And he said, if you ever come back this way, be sure and stop by and see me. But by all means, pray for me. Amen. Art Gillette said, I will. I don't know, maybe it's a result of his prayers that he was transferred, fired from the Kansas City Chiefs, and went to work with the Saints and in New Orleans, and then finally became a radio master of ceremonies for sports. So far as I know, Hank never did get saved. Amen. But he had a holiness preacher sat at his desk. Tell him, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Amen. A while back, a friend of mine, I was talking to him on the telephone about a loved one that only had a few days to live. And he said this, he said, if they die, God's going to have to explain some things to me. I knew what he meant. He was a man of faith and prayer. And he had prayed and believed God and felt he had the assurance that she would live. But she didn't. And folks, God don't have to explain anything to us. He already wrote it in black and white, way back on in the first pages of Genesis. In the day you eat thereof, ye shall surely die. Men just go on, as Richard said this morning, treading where angels fear to trod, going across forbidden lines, thinking they'll live forever, and after you die, that's all there is to it. But that's not all there is to it. You, if Jesus tarries, are going to die. God don't have to explain anything. It was his mercy that told us we was going to die. He didn't have to tell us. He could took us out without telling us, but he said, you're going to die. Adam's race is bound for the grave. Oh, but praise God, his brother Croucher sang, somewhere beyond the grave, there's a land for the children of hope. Praise God, there's a better place to go tonight. Amen. Yes, way back in Genesis, they lived a long time. But it's not how long you live, it's how well you live. Amen. One preacher said, one great preacher in his writing said, Methuselah lived 969 years. But he said, in Old English, there was nothing doing. In other words, Methuselah didn't do anything with his life. I want to think, however, that he was a little more useful than that. His very name meant when he is dead, it shall come. Amen. His very name meant that the flood would come. And the day Methuselah died, the rain came. I don't know if they even got to bury Methuselah or not. He was like the old brother in Oklahoma City, one of those kind that walked down the streets with a sign on the front and the back, saying the end is near. Get right with God. Amen. Methuselah. I like to think Brother Croucher was a walking signboard. He lived 969 years. But in the catalog of those that lived so long, the Bible said he died. Adam lived a long time, what, 959 years, but he died. Amen. A lot of them lived a long time, but all of them died. Why did God cut down the lifespan so short? Until today we have 70. Unless by reason of strength we have a little longer. You're not all that strong tonight, however. We're going to die. And God don't have to explain to us. Oh, I've heard distraught people say, "Oh God, why did you take my baby? Oh God, why did you take my mother? Oh God, why did you take my daddy?" God don't have to explain to anybody. He already warned us. We have an appointment to keep. We may not like it. He said, after this, the judgment. Every time I've been in court for my traffic tickets, amen, I'd get so rattled that I couldn't even explain myself. Amen. I'd like to talk to judge out of fining me so much, but I wound up getting a bigger fine because I got my tang tangled around my eye tooth and wound up doing more harm than I did good. Amen. I couldn't talk my way out of it. I didn't have a very glib tongue. Amen. What was it that made me tremble? What was it that bamboozled me? What was it that, amen, that caused me to lose my chain of thought and my plea? Amen. Oh, I should have taken notes and read it off to the judge. Amen. Because I got rattled and wound up condemning myself. The Bible said after this, the judgment. My God, if death was all there was to it, it wouldn't be so bad. But we've got to stand before the tribunal of heaven. We've got to stand before the judge of all judges. Amen. Just a few years ago, John Holcomb was lawyer against this church. Amen. And the judge decided against us. And all the Masons, amen, was exerting their influence. But tonight at the age of 63, they're getting ready to lay John Holcomb 6 feet under. Died at the racetrack yesterday. Oh, John, what's it gonna be on the other side? Oh, John, what are you going to do when it comes your time to stand before the tribunal of heaven, the judge of all judges? Amen. If a man could think sanely about it and clearly about it, he'd lose his mind in 15 minutes. You got to put it out of your head, but that ain't going to help you. You got to avoid the issue, but that ain't going to help you. You got to try to harden your heart to it, but that's not going to help you. In that day, you'll be like that man that appeared at the wedding. Didn't have on a wedding garment. The judge said, the governor said, "Son, how came you in here without a wedding garment on. He wore his own, folks. He didn't wear the one that was provided by the king. He wore his own. Self-made religion won't do. The religion we pick out for ourselves won't get it. Amen. Man, any old religion's okay to live by, but none of them's any count to die by except old-time religion. Or if you're just looking for convenience in the name of being a Christian, pick out the slickest, easiest one you can find. Yeah. I mean, amen, sugar on the candy on the end of the stick. Amen. Amen. Sugar on the end of it. All flatteries, amen, and hunky-dory and goody-goody, and you're all right. Amen. But it ain't going to help you when the trembling time comes. My God, the Bible said that man without the wedding garment on was speechless. You just like me every time I tried to plead my cause for the judge. Amen. They run me down the second time, old 38 Ford outside of Mama Spring, Arkansas. Amen. I was trying to get up, didn't have any speedometer on it. Amen. And old Luke Haney, he set a speed trap for all those that drove too fast in Mammoth. He'd write you a ticket for going 21 miles an hour, and 20 miles was the speed limit. Amen. He had me pulled over about a mile out of town. Amen. And I said, what about that guy that went roaring by? And he said, he not going too fast. I was trying to get him after somebody else. Amen. Yeah. Peter said when Jesus said, lovest thou me? Man, he had him shook up. You know I love you, Lord. I mean, he had him plumb embarrassed. And finally looked over and said, what shall this man do? You know what he's trying to do? He's trying to avoid the issue. He's doing like a lot of people sitting around churches and I ain't no worse than the rest of them. But that won't get it neither. I'm better than so-and-so, I won't get it either. Amen. Jesus said, what is any of your business if I will that he abide until I came? And they started the rumor that John wasn't going to die because Jesus suggested it was his business if he wanted John to live till he come again. Amen. Oh, we try to shake off personal responsibility. But sin, sin. Pardon the vernacular, but there ain't no little sins and there ain't no big sins in God's eyes. You know, we wouldn't even put Eve in jail for eating that apple because there wasn't any fence around it anyway. They didn't intend for her to eat it. They should have put a fence around it. Amen. I mean, the insurance wouldn't even have paid off on it. If just eating apples was all it was, and I'm not saying that's what it was, fruit, the Bible says, there's apple, peaches, plums, or pokeberries, amen, she ate the fruit. God built a fence around it. God drew the line, said you shall go thus far and no farther. When I was 15 years old, God drawed the line across my path. Amen. And I almost walked over it. I tripped on the wire and almost fell over it. It felt like I never could get saved. For one whole summer, I trembled before the tribunal of God. I felt like I'd been judged and couldn't get back. The life gradually ebbed out of my body. I tried to work it off, run it off, play it off, lost my appetite, and good food and cold ice drinks didn't look good when the darkness swept over my soul. When the darkness swept over my soul, I'd get so weak I couldn't hardly lift a fork of Lespedeza hay on the wagon. There was just one thing all important to get back to God for me, and I made a run for it. I made a desperate run for it. Amen. Thea Jones told about the man that the devil told him he'd give him this mansion and this big car and all the money he could spend if he'd just live for him. And here he is living it up, wine, women, and song, living in a mansion and driving a big car. One night he comes home late, and one of the windows in that mansion is boarded up. Next night, another one, and then a door, and then another window, and then a door, until finally all daylight was shut out. And we went in that night, the door locked behind him, and he saw one small window left, just big enough for a man to get through, and he made a run for it. My God, he said, I've sold my soul for things. He made a run for it. He left everything behind to get back to God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Jacko told about the man that heard him preach one night. Amen. Rejected God. Next day he was called to the hospital with the pastor to visit a man who was calling for him. He went to the hospital and found it was that same man who was sitting on the front seat that had rejected God his last time the night before. He said, preacher, he said, I heard the angels. And he said, I saw the angels come down. And I heard beautiful music. And he said, I was reaching for them, preacher. And he said, those angels took one look at me. And they turned around with me yelling, please come, take me with you. Amen. He said, the angels left me laying in that big open field. And said, then I heard a horrible racket. And a jillion screaming demons came across that field. And he said, they took a hold of my clothes, my hands, my arm, my feet, and my body. And preacher, those demons was dragging me across that field. Where were they taking me to, preacher? Tell me where they're taking me to. And he died in that shape. Most of us, we've been told time and time again, we're like the sign on a little town in Kentucky that I saw. Speed limit, 35 miles an hour. Just a few feet away, another sign that said, you have been warned. Amen. We've been warned time and time again. We've been warned. And tonight, God owes no explanation for death. It can happen anytime. Some have longer and some have shorter. My God, the young people that have been going out lately, they've been young people in the paper. I mean, 30s and younger, going out with the old. Why do some go so young? God doesn't even have to answer that question, why. We've all been warned. Amen. We've all had our chance. Let's stand tonight, Father. Touch some life, some heart, some soul. One more time, God has passed by and touched our lives. gave us a chance to give our all to God. And here and now we do it all over again, Father. Inasmuch as in us, we give it over to Jesus. We give our fun, our pleasure, everything in this world, our whole life over to you, Lord God, to live for God as long as you give us, and die in the faith and go to heaven right with God. Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. As we sing, we invite you to an altar prayer to pray with us. In this world of confusion, there's disillusion everywhere. It's hard to find true peace of mind in someone who really cares. Put my faith in Jesus, yeah, like no other friend I've known. His word is true, he will see you through. I believe Jesus, I believe Jesus saved, one foot in the grave and the other sliding over. One foot in the grave and already balanced toward eternity. Lost your balance. About to go headlong beyond the point of no return. Come on. Hallelujah.